Hello, hello.
Are you self-conscious?
Yeah.
Have you ever done a podcast before?
No.
Maybe we need our own theme song for if it's any time that you're on here, we need our own theme song.
Yes.
So make it. What's our theme song?
Make it?
Yeah.
We have to make one?
Well, yeah, start it off. That's not a theme song. Give me a beat. All right, I'll give you a beat.
It's Michael and Carly, and we're here together to talk and shoot the breeze.
Watch out for that chord. That's part of the song. Watch out for the chord.
Watch out for the chord.
The Warrior King Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Warrior King Podcast. My name is Michael Riggs. I'm a full-time author, artist, and entrepreneur here to assist you in unlocking masculinity, manliness, and the warrior spirit within and overall leveling up your life. All right, so I brought you on here today because you're super hot and I need views. I'm just kidding. I brought you on here today because we're talking about
true love.
True love.
One truth.
If you've read my book, Warrior King, you know that in the section, The Lover, there's a huge part about not getting married until you know that she's the one. And I'm very passionate about that. It's a very important topic to me because I see a lot of young people getting married because of what I call the checklist of life. And the checklist of life is like all the things that society tells you that you need to do at certain points, like graduate high school, go to college, get married, get the house, get the dog, have the kids. And it's like people aren't doing them like in an authentic way. They're just doing them because it's what they're supposed to do. And marriage is one of those things that people do just because it's what they're supposed to do at a certain juncture in their lives. And then they end up in horrible situations and they don't know how to deal with it. And that's why I talk about not getting married until you know that she's the one. So that's what we're going to be getting into today on this episode. Let me pull out my notes. So we were both in less than happy and desirable relationships before we found each other. And so it's sort of a cautionary tale. So before we get into how to know that she's the one, we got to talk a little bit about how to know that they're not the one in order to get there. For me, I was with someone for 10 whole years and we had two daughters together. And when it really comes down to it, like we had no business being together in the first place. And it was just a miserable relationship the entire time because we didn't mix well, I guess. Like we just weren't right for each other, but we forced it. So that's a little bit about my half of it.
Well, I feel like you at least had a reason to force it because you had kids. I just forced it because that's what I thought I was supposed to do.
But for me, before we even had the kids, I was even back then forcing the relationship. Like we even broke up at one point and I was like, no, I love you. Let's be together and all that. And I like forced the relationship to happen. And then like we had the opportunity right there. Obviously, I don't regret it because I love my daughters and I wouldn't have it any other way. But what I'm saying is that 10 years is a really long time to be with someone that you're miserable with. And that can be avoided if
you actually look at what your relationship is, not just what you want it to be.
Drinking a lot of water. Slammed that cup. But anyways, you're here because you're my one true love. So that's what we're talking about today. And I have some notes here. Oh, there is in this modern society, I feel like there's been a loss of true love and or the idea of true love and the idea of real marriages. And like I had one guy on TikTok when I had one for the Warrior King podcast say marriage is dead. And he was mad about a video that I made.
I think a lot, this might be off topic, but I think what plays into that a lot is the growth of feminism and the diminishing of like manhood, because girls are now taught that they don't need a man and that they can just thrive on their own, which you can thrive on your own as a woman, but that doesn't mean you don't need a man. And that doesn't mean that being in a relationship with someone you truly love is wrong. And that doesn't take away being a woman. That actually like adds to it. But there's such a misconception with marriage, I feel like, because of that.
Yeah. And I think that it has a lot to do with also because the only example that we have is bad marriages, and those bad marriages come from people who had no business getting married in the first place and shouldn't even get together. So like for me, when I was younger, I never knew anybody in my entire life that had been married their whole life, like since they got married. Like I have an uncle who's been married 5 times. My parents were divorced. I never knew anybody that had actually stayed together. And I think that that's happened so much over time, and we see it happen around us all the time, that it's kind of like marriage is stupid. Why even get married? So that plays a lot into
yeah,
it too.
Yeah, it does. On the other hand, though, my parents were divorced, and I always told myself I would never be that person, and I would never do what they did. But then I ended up doing what they did because I feel like I tried to force the relationship I was in at the time that I thought I should be getting married. So like my early 20s, I thought I should be in a relationship that's leading to marriage because I'm at this age and I didn't want to get divorced like my parents did. So I tried to force getting married and then staying with somebody I wasn't supposed to be with.
And that's a lot of why I too stayed in a relationship that was terrible and toxic and all that for so long, is because it's the idea that this is what I'm supposed to do, this is the right thing to do, and all that sort of thing. But when you got married, like, were there red flags in the beginning? Like, when you, like, before you got married, were there red flags that you saw?
Yes, and I kept them to myself because part of me knew that if I talked to somebody about them, then they would talk me out of marrying him. And it wasn't like I was afraid of not marrying him because I loved him. It was I was afraid of being like my parents, or I guess on some level, afraid of being alone, even though I was still so young and still had time. But
that's
yeah,
why I held on to my relationship a lot too, in retrospect, is because I'm like, I like a fear of being alone. It's like a little part of it, but it is a part of it.
But yeah, lots of red flags. Even on the wedding day, in the morning, like that morning, I was like having so much doubt. But then by that point, my family had put in so much money and time and energy, and everybody had come into town. I was like, I can't like call this off now because of everybody else. But it was because I didn't want to disappoint other people, which I guess is another point.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have like a broken relationship. I wanted it to look like everything was happy and good and just follow the emotions.
And I've seen that happen a couple of times recently too. I don't want to single anyone out, but it gets to a point where you plan this whole big thing and this whole big event and everybody's invited, and then you realize that it's not the right thing to do, and or that you're not ready yet at this juncture in your life, and then there's like no backing out of it because it would be just devastatingly embarrassing. You know, people really ultimately would understand, but I can see how like the pressures of other people and the pressures of this whole big wedding that you planned, and then you realize... All I'm saying is I've seen that happen recently too. But one point that I wanted to make in this episode was, and why I asked you that, if there are red flags before, is because a lot of people think that when they get married, all of those things are just going to suddenly be okay and suddenly be cured and everything's going to be okay and all those red flags will just disappear. And that is not at all the truth. Like, none of those things change, honestly. And all of those things that you disagree about and the arguments that you have and maybe things that that person does that you don't like, you have to assume that that person is going to be that way for the rest of their lives. And if you're not okay with that, like if you can't say the way that they are right now, I will love them forever, like no matter what, then that's not the right person. Like, you shouldn't be getting married. That's just, I truly
believe
that. No,
that's so true. And from experience, a lot of girls, I guess guys too, think that marriage will fix either the problems you have or the problems you have with that person. So like things you don't like about
them.
Or even
fix that person, like
yeah,
if they're a flawed person.
They think marriage will fix that person, but it makes it harder.
Yeah.
And then it makes you feel stuck because it's like a legal binding agreement you made that you then have to get out of or try to make work. Yeah, it just makes it harder. It's not, it doesn't fix them. It doesn't change them. It's not magic.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things I had in that relationship, I already felt like I was having to be a different person just to like be in that relationship. Like, here's a stupid example. Him and his family were really into sports, and I don't care about sports. And it's, and that you can get that with somebody you're truly in love with. But the point was, I feel like I had to like fake being into it, or else I was the outsider, or else he would get mad at me, which is just a totally different issue. But like, yeah. I had to like make myself be certain things in order to feel like that relationship worked and thrived.
And in my past big relationship also, the main thing was like this constant having to be self-conscious and aware of myself and being embarrassed of myself and what will people think. And she was constantly putting that in my face. And if I pursued anything, there was like shame and embarrassment around it. Like, there was no support at all. So it was like, I was faking it through my relationship the entire time. I couldn't be myself.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And it got to a certain point in that relationship where we weren't even sleeping in the same room anymore. Like, I would sleep on the couch downstairs and she would sleep in the bedroom upstairs. And we basically couldn't even stand each other, but we stayed together because we're doing the right thing, or that's what we're supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. But it was what I was talking about was like having to fake being somebody else and fake it through that relationship just to make it work and force it, basically.
Like, I was a totally different person than who I was before in that relationship. And then I was a different person than who I actually wanted to be.
But the point here being, like, if you consider these things and if you're warned like you are right now before you go into that marriage or that situation, then it could save you a lot of heartache, a lot of time, a lot of money, years of your life where you could have been happy. Because when you find the right person, it's just happiness all the time. We got a newborn baby in here in a baby swing, so you might hear him grunting from time to time. Or you might hear me grunting. I'm a grunty guy. I'll try to edit that out. But the question that I have for you is, what does it feel like when you are true loves? Or how did you realize that you were in love? Like, what is, you understand what I'm saying? Like, what does it feel like?
Yeah, but that's hard to put into words. It's like a, you can't put in words. It's like,
oh,
a,
thanks, Toots.
It's like a supernatural thing. It's like a connection on a different level. So it's deeper than just like I'm attracted to this person or I have fun being with them or we like hanging out. It's like a, it's like your souls are meant to be together.
Yeah, it really is. It might sound ridiculous, like especially in this day and age and the views around it and stuff, it might sound cheesy and ridiculous, but it really is. Like the first time that I saw you or the first time that I was in the same room as you, there was like this magnetic thing. And then like when we first started talking, it was just like effortless. It was like I knew you for, again, going to sound cheesy, but I felt like I knew you in lifetimes past. Like it wasn't like talking to other girls where I had to like force it or try to get their attention or anything. It was just like, boom, we're best friends.
Yes, that's so true, because we met because we worked together. So we met like a long time before we got together. But yeah, the second we started talking, just as friends, we were just like, I'm usually very shy and it takes me a long time to open up to people. But I felt like with you immediately, I was just being myself and I was having fun. And then when I wasn't with you, I was thinking about you all the time, which sounds cheesy, but it's true. Like you miss that person when you're not with them and you just want to be with them all the time.
A couple of things that were different to me and that I would brag about was like how close we were. Like we wanted to be like really intimately close all the time. And like when you fell asleep next to me, you would like cling to me and like hold me and stuff. You would hold me. But you know what I mean? Like you would hold on to me.
Yeah.
And I had been sleeping in separate rooms from the last lady that I was with. And I'm like, this is different. But it not like, oh, I thought everybody slept in separate rooms from each other. It wasn't like that. But it was just like this, you actually wanted to be close to me. You actually liked me, which I had never really had before. In all of my past relationships, I was like, this is different. She like actually likes me or something, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing is support. So that's one thing that I really wanted to talk about in this is when you truly love someone, you support them in their dreams and their goals and ambitions and in their endeavors. And my past nightmare relationship, I was not supported in anything that I pursued. And she supports me in everything, just like 100% encouragement all the time. Everything that I show her that I've created, she loves it. And I don't think you're faking it.
No.
She like genuinely supports me and thinks that I'm a smart guy, which is amazing. It's just that support aspect that it's like everything is done out of love. And it's not like you have to be like read a self-help book or self-help marriage book and be like, oh, I need to do everything out of love. It's just effortless. Like I'm doing it out of love because I love you. I'm not going out of my way to do it. It's just a natural way of being. And in past nightmare relationships, it felt like everything was a disagreement, an argument, a conflict. We didn't like the same things. There was no support for anything.
Yeah. My past relationship was just very separate. Like I would have like side hobbies or things I would do. And it was just like a totally different life than his life. And it would be just be like opposite. Like even he worked nights, I worked days. So we like barely even saw each other. And every time I hung out with like my friends or my sisters, it was just like totally on my own. Almost like I was single.
That's exactly what it's like. It's like being roommates. Like,
yes. Roommates.
Yeah. That's how it was for me. It was felt like a roommate situation. But circling back really quick, I just want to remind you of something that I said previously, which was those things don't go away once you get married. They stay. All those disagreements and arguments that you have, all the things that annoy you about that person, all that stuff's still going to be there. So just consider that. And if you hate everything about the person, then they're not your true love. Like it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Just tolerating them or just excusing what they're doing, that's not true love. And it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. One thing I wanted to ask you was, and I feel like this is important, what it was like when we first fell in love versus how we are now. So, like in a lot of relationships, there's like a honeymoon phase where it's just like, woohoo, everything's perfect. I love you so much. And then it just goes like crashing down at a certain point.
Yeah.
So we've been together for a while now. So I wanted to ask you, what's the difference between how we were when we were in that first bliss of falling in love versus now?
We're closer. I think, like, we're closer. We still have fun all the time. We still support each other. We're still excited by each other. I just think the difference now is we're a lot closer. And, like, I feel like every day I can be, like, more and more myself. And we're so close that we think the same thing sometimes.
Yeah. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
I think when you spend enough time with someone, like, if you're around them all day, every day, they're, like, your brains get connected in some way. Because we'll, like, say the same thing at the same time. We're like the Olsen twins. That's a real thing. But, yeah, so that's the difference is... we're closer now. We didn't get past the excitement of getting married and being together and being infatuated and all that. And then we're miserable now, which is, that's a huge difference. So, like, yeah. When you know that it's true love before you get married, in a few years, you might be closer than you were when you got married. So I feel like that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
One thing that I want to say is that, honestly, there are, like, no annoyances when it comes to you, which I've had. Like, there were things that I always didn't like about that person, like the way that they did this or that, the way that... I don't know. It was just like everything was a disagreement. And I love literally everything about you. Like, I'm not just saying that for like a video. Like, I can't think of anything that I dislike about you. That's a huge sign that you should marry that person, is if you can't even figure out anything that you don't like about that person.
Yeah. Like if there's not like something, I'm just going to repeat what you said. So no.
Even like small things, like I hate the way that their mouth clicks when they say and or something, you know, it's like. When they chew, like that, those, like you wouldn't have that if you were just like absolutely in love.
I think that's what I was trying to say. It's because you love them so much that like there's nothing they can do to make you not love them.
And when we have disagreements, which is like very rarely, they're not like big blow up arguments where we're trying to hurt each other. It's never that we're trying to hurt each other. We're not trying to one up each other, which is something I did in my past relationship, which was like every time she said something, I would say something meaner to try to get back. Like it's even the disagreements are out of love and it's trying to understand each other.
Yeah. And usually they come from just a misunderstanding or we miscommunicated.
Yeah. It's just from a misunderstanding. And then it's just like, a conversation and then it's over and then suddenly we're one true loves again. All right, so I'm not going to get into the full story right now, but when we first started seeing each other, it was kind of tumultuous, especially like family wise. And there was a lot that went into that. But one thing that I wanted to talk about is unconditional love. And that's a huge part of it too, because if you don't truly love someone, they might do something to offend you or hurt you. And you would be like, well, screw it. I'm out of here. I want nothing to do with this person. And with you, and probably both ways, it was like anytime that something happened or anytime that something offended me or hurt me, I was like, all right, well, I'll be right here waiting for you. Yeah. And I'm going to love you no matter what. And when you're ready to come back, here I am. You know, and that's something that I never had before either, was just that unconditional love. Like, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you no matter what. And that's a huge thing that goes into marriage. Don't get married until you know that they're the one, because if not, it ends in divorce. And like, I feel like there's nothing that you could do that would make me stop loving you or want to break up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And like, people are people and they go through their own like self journeys, and that continues after you get married. So yeah, the unconditional love is still like loving them through those moments too.
Yeah. It's like what it says, in sickness and in health, even in the morning, I'm just joking.
Because I look like
even in the morning.
That's twice now you said that.
I'm just joking. One more thing about how to know that she is your one true love is that intimacy never gets old or boring. I think that's what I put in. Yeah, it never gets old or boring. If anything, we're more intimate now. I'm not going to be gross, but like just from personal experience, when I was with someone that I had no business being with, at a certain point, it was kind of like losing interest, and that has not happened with you at all.
No. Like, and like you said, what did you say? It's more...
I don't remember.
You said it's like the opposite of more boring. It's because we're more comfortable with each other now too.
And we truly love each other. Like we're still infatuated with each other and...
Yeah. We've gotten closer as our relationship has progressed. So that includes like the intimacy part, and then we're more comfortable with each other. So there's just no, it's not boring, and it's not like, I don't know.
I mean, it goes back to what we talked about before about how we're even closer now.
Yeah.
That even plays into the intimacy. And I know that might be an awkward thing to talk about, but it's very important, especially when it comes to true love and marriage, is intimacy. Like, you don't want to find yourself in a point where it's like, we haven't been intimate in 5 years. Yeah. Or even like 5 hours or something. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so that's a huge thing too. It's like, that person is just as attractive, just as mm-hmm. beautiful, just as desirable as they've ever been. That's a good sign that it's true love. When it's true love, you never want to hurt that person. And I kind of talked about this before. This is kind of repeating myself a little bit, but like in disagreements and arguments and things like that, or even in day-to-day life, you never want to like spite that person or hurt that person.
Yeah. Like, you're not trying to get the last word. It's not like, I feel like in arguments, I try to think about how what I say will make you feel. So then I'm just like, I'm thinking about you, not trying to just like win the argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just everything's done out of love and it's effortless. You're not like trying to do it. I'm trying to put into words what just comes naturally. And that's a little bit difficult. But yeah, it's just love all the time. Just love. So that's a good sign.
So what we're saying is, if it's hard and you have to force it and you have to hold yourself back,
then yeah, if you can't even be yourself.
Yeah, then it's probably not true love, and you probably shouldn't be with that person, or you need to reevaluate the relationship.
Oh, one thing from a past relationship that always got me was, you know how I'm like really goofy and funny, and I joke around a lot, and I'll like do a silly dance or like say something in a funny voice. I wasn't allowed to do any of that. I wasn't allowed to be myself at all. So that's a huge part of it. Like, if you can't just be your authentic, true self, like, you shouldn't be with that person. They should love you for you. And you should be able to naturally be you and be yourself with that person. And if you can't, imagine a whole lifetime of that. Because marriage is supposed to be a lifetime commitment. I know it's not viewed as that anymore, but it really is. Like, it's supposed to be, I'm going to be with you until I am dead. Like, and if you can't imagine just faking being someone who you're not for the rest of your life, then that's not true love.
You
definitely want to be able to be yourself.
I just think everything should be natural. Nothing should be forced. And if you have to try and try and try at everything, then you're probably not meant to be with that person, because you should just connect on like every level.
So the checklist of life that I mentioned before, and these expectations from society and your parents and whoever else, just like you might see your friends on social media like reaching certain milestones on this checklist and you think that you're behind or whatever. But here's the thing, that checklist, all of the things on it, the house, the wife, the kids, these should all be results of you living an authentic life and pursuing your purpose. They shouldn't be like forced things. Especially not the marriage, because it always ends horribly when you force something like that. But like, if you're pursuing your true purpose and you're living your life authentically, all of these things on that checklist will fall into place and just be results of living your life authentically. They don't happen first. Like, you don't do all of those things and then you're like, okay, someday I can be myself.
Yes.
The checklist, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with doing anything on that checklist. Obviously, I'm living in a house, I have a wife, I have kids, I don't have a dog because I'm not sure if we want one yet. But yeah, like, those things will fall into place. They will happen, but don't force them, right?
That's a really good way to put it. They should be results of your love. The love should be at the core. And then all of these things just happen around it, because you're building a life together. So then you're going to want a nice place to live, and you're going to probably have kids as a result of your love, and you're going to want to reach all of these goals. But yeah, and you don't need to just go down a checklist, and you don't need to go in order. So if you feel like you're just doing these as tasks, then it's not natural. So again, nothing should be forced. It should just happen.
And the last thing that I want to talk about here is aligned goals and dreams, and how, like, just naturally we were always into the same things, interested in the same things, like, imagine the same future for ourselves. So we lived in a school bus conversion for a year, for example, and we dreamed about that for years. But when I first mentioned tiny living and living in a school bus, first I wanted to live in a sailboat. But when I got into the schooly life and the tiny home life and I mentioned it to her, she wasn't like, oh my God, I could never do that.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I was like, I like already had that desire to do something like that. Like, I always was into the tiny living. I've always been like a little bit hippie and nomadic in my thinking and like how I wanted to live. So Actually, I remember before we got together, I went to visit my brother and was joking around. And I was like, I'm just going to live in a van and travel the U.S. And then he started talking about all this stuff when we did get together. And I was like, I've been into all this stuff, too. So, mm-hmm. like, your dreams and goals are kind of already...
Yeah, aligned. Very, very similar at least. And then like once we accomplish one dream and then I have new dreams, she's just all about it too. Like we're always on the same page, I feel like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I guess it's hard to put that into words too. But it's just we're always on the same. I think that whole opposites attract thing is BS because we're so much alike. It's crazy.
I mean, not to say that if your one true is different than you, then it's wrong. But like
things
should be cohesive. So, yeah. Like, the big life goals and the big dreams.
I guess what I mean by opposites attract is if you are just completely two conflicting people and you're forcing love and be like, well, opposites attract, that's...
Yeah, you know, then
yeah, it's you should definitely be living the same life, not trying to go in two opposite directions.
Which is how I was in my past relationship.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Like I said, it's like a roommate situation.
Yeah.
And you don't want to end up in a roommate situation. Mm-hmm. You want to end up with someone who you're... totally in love with, right?
Yes.
Yes. And then you have things like that too, where you don't do it in front of people, but you talk in lisps and baby voices and you call each other names, little nicknames and stuff.
Little inside jokes, little quirks.
Yeah. Like this is Carlini, Carluini, which evolved into Ween. So now I just call her Ween and she calls me Mikael.
Yes.
And we talk like this sometimes. But we're just best friends. But that's how to know when she's the one. And you definitely want to know that she's the one before you get married because it's supposed to be a lifelong commitment. And like I said, those red flags, those things that you don't like about them, don't go away. It sounds crazy, but it's kind of got to be perfect before you make a commitment like that.
Well, yeah, because it's a huge life commitment. And like you brought up earlier, it's not really viewed like that anymore. Like people just think, if it doesn't work out, I'll just get divorced. But that's not what marriage is.
Yeah.
Like that's not how it was designed and that's not how it should be treated. So if you're not sure, just don't do it. And oh, I have another point. We talked about this before. Like when you're with your one true, you never stop. You know, he's falling on my face.
Go ahead.
You never stop like trying to be desirable to them. So like,
oh yes,
I feel like we've kept them. Well, maybe not just because I had a baby, but like usually we like every day, even if we're just staying home, we like put ourselves together and we like make sure we smell nice. So we're like we're always trying to still like woo the other person.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's important in keeping intimacy alive and keeping keeping romance alive.
I make sure that I'm put together and as like I'm coming to visit my girlfriend again for the day.
Yeah.
You know, like how, like the same thing, like if you were to, like I'm hanging out with my girlfriend today and what you do to get ready that morning before you go and see her, that's like my everyday life. I don't just come out looking like a slob and all that. And it's not even like, I'm not doing a thing. It's just like, it's a natural part.
It's natural. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm still that.
You still have a relationship and you're still trying to keep that alive.
Yeah, not even that though, but I just still really like you. And I want you to view me in the best way. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's all I got for this one. Good talk. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I hope this gave you some inspiration or insight or something. I don't know. Maybe it saved you from being in a terrible situation. But that true love will come someday. That sound like a Disney princess. I don't know. I really feel like some of you listening right now might hear stuff like that and think that it's ridiculous or stupid, but it's not. Like, true love is still really a thing, and life can be really miserable if you don't believe that and if you don't wait for that. So wait for it. Wait for it to happen. It'll happen, and it'll be awesome. If this episode especially inspired you, definitely leave a like, rating, review, push the button, whatever kind of button it is, wherever you're getting this. That's how we reach more men with these positive messages worldwide. If it especially inspired you, there's a support link down in the description of this podcast or this video where you can give to this podcast to help us keep doing it. And just thank you so much for watching and listening. This is my beautiful wife. As I said before, you can just like get a good look at her really quick if you're on the video version right now. But that's my wife.
And that's my husband.
Anyways, thank you guys so much, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.